Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we'll read responsibly Psalm 22. "You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him.
And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised or abhorred
the affliction of the afflicted,
and he has not hidden his face from him,
but has heard when he cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied.
Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember
and turn to the Lord.
All the families of the nations
shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord,
and he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who have been around us.
Even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Prosperity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Praise to the Lord, your God. Glory
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Just a few weeks ago, you know, we had some construction here in Augusta area. We had some construction along railroad tracks. Some of you might remember that. It was kind of a nightmare, as it were. You know, you would go and you would say, "Okay, I'm going to go this way," only to find the road closed. Say, "Well, I'll go to the next one." Well, it was closed too. And then the third one was closed. Then you're thinking, okay, where's there a bridge over the railroad tracks? You see, shortcuts, even though we sometimes know them, aren't always short. I mean, often shortcuts actually end up in disaster. You know, there's a dead-end road or a two-lane road with heavy traffic, so it's no shortcut at all. But what about a shortcut when you're trying to fix something at home or maybe on your car? You know, maybe you get done and you've put your new tire on, but you have a couple bolts extra. How does that work? You know, or, you know, maybe it's that time when you're pressure washing and, you know, you get half your sidewalk done, and it's getting dark and you decide to put it away, only the next day to notice that it's kind of black and white. Yeah, shortcuts, they don't really save time or work. But in our Old Testament reading today, Abram, it has a desire to make a man-made shortcut. He wants to do things his way, and he's figured out a way to have an heir. After all, he's 99 years old. He and Sarai are not going to be having children anymore. It's just too late. So Abram has a plan for an heir so that even God can save face. Because Abram wants Ishmael to be his heir. Ishmael's already been born. Abram loves Ishmael. He practically begs for this, praying to God, "Oh, that Ishmael may live before you." He knows that he and Sarai are too old to have a son, so let's just make Ishmael the heir of the promise. This is, you know, Abram's fervent wish and the answer to his problem. And in this, we kind of see the short faith of Abram and Sarai. They have weak faith. They're trying to work around, take a shortcut. Abram doubts that God can still keep his promise at this time and provide him with an heir. You know, this would be
impossible, right? A guy's 99 years old, for heaven's sakes. You know, I mean, the parts that used to be there just don't work anymore. Okay. And, I mean, Sarai is old too. You know, it's just not going to happen. And it's too much to ask of them. Well, Abram takes matters in his own hand. He wants to fix the problem. And, you know, he says, God, let us do things my way this time. Well, we're going to find out that that's not the best way to go. But yet, you and I are a lot like Abram. We like to take the things of God in our hands and do with them what we want. We like to have the promises, but still do what we want to do. In other words, we want to have our cake and eat it too, right? We want to have both sides of things. To have God have his promise, then have him live it out in us in our own way, with our own idea of what it looks like. You know, God, just let me do it my way. You know, it's so much easier. Just let me do it. But the problem is, we don't have the wisdom that God has. We don't understand the world the way God does. And we certainly don't understand his marvelous way of making things happen when he's promised to do so. You know, we have problems, yes. All of us do. And we know that, you know, we know some of the answers to our problems. And yet, we think that, you know, God, if you would just do this, then my problems would be gone and I could do things what you'd want me to do. Okay? You know, I'm in debt right now, so, you know, let me win the lottery. I'll even play an extra $50 worth of cards this week, okay? You know, that'll help get me out of my misery, and I can do great things for you. Bargaining with God doesn't work most times. And so, Abram, like us, likes to take matters into his own hands. He wants to fix the problem. And we, as the people of God, well, we go to our God with our problems, our heart. And we tell him that we believe in his promises. Excuse me. And so as soon as we pray, amen, though, when we've gone to the Lord in our prayer, we made it look very beautiful. We made it all just stand out. You know, we used all the right words. We even sprinkled it with a few biblical terms to know, let God know that we've been paying attention. And then we said our amen, and then we immediately started looking for our own solutions again. You know, we look for our own answers the way we think the problem should be solved. And then we start telling that solution to God. And just like that, though, we bring anxiety back into our lives. There's worry, there's fear. Oh, yeah, we give it to God, and then we take it right back. You know, it's almost as if we have a rope attached, right? And we just throw it out to God. Maybe a better thing would be we baited the hook and we cast out. And we said, okay, God, take it from me. And then we wheel it in because we want to be in charge. That's the problem, though, isn't it? We don't let go and let God. We don't give it to God. We temporarily loan it for 30 seconds, and then we want it back. You see, our problem is that we're not really trusting in God and his ability to answer our prayers. And that's the real problem, isn't it? It's a lack of trust. And knowing that God is going to answer our prayers in the way that is best for us. I mean, after all, how many times is it we've prayed for one thing only for God to give us something else instead? Why does that happen? Well, is God more wise than we are? Does he know that what we are asking for is not really what we needed? Doesn't he know our needs better than we do? And don't we trust him to have the right answer? And so Abram is now face to face with God. God doesn't come in to chastise him or to condemn him. God comes to Abram to strengthen his faith by speaking to him about the promises of the covenant. If Abram thought it was impossible and unbelievable that he and his wife could have a child in their old age, he must have been astonished then at the unbelievable promises that God was making to him. And then he changed Abram's name. You notice Abram didn't have a say in that. God said, "You are now Abraham," and that was what it was. Because he was to become the father of a multitude of nations. And Sarai, she didn't get a choice either. She's now called Sarah, because she'd be the mother of many nations. And God wouldn't work his promise through Ishmael, but he would keep his original promise by giving Abraham and Sarah a son of their very own in their old age. I can just imagine what it was like in that camp with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, old age, heavily pregnant, you know. And then there's Abram, the proud papa, right? So here we are, generations after this time. And yet Abraham is still an example for us. An example of someone who was blessed by God, given promises by God, was surprised by God, and saw promises come to him being fulfilled. I mean, amazing stuff that you get in the life of Abraham. And he's blessing his descendants generation after generation. And in fact, this whole people would become the people of God, who would then birth who? Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. God doesn't do things without a reason. And his ways are marvelous. But boy, can you imagine how Abraham and Sarah would have thought about that, saying, "Oh, by the way, you know, your son, Isaac, you know, through him is going to come my son, the Savior of the world." Wouldn't that have just kind of blown their heads off, right? I mean, with this, the grandeur of that. So God doesn't tell them. He gives them the answer that they need to the promise that was given to them. And then through the generations, continues to bless and provide. And then finally, God would give to Abram the land of Canaan, the promised land for his future people. And this promised land would be an everlasting possession. And again, it would be everlasting because it was a land far beyond anything here on earth. There would be a promised land that would last forever, and in so doing, that's heaven on earth on the last day. See, Jesus already points us all the way to that point, and that promise to Abraham jumps right to the very end. What a marvelous thing that is. And so you and I today, some things for us to remember, that through Jesus, the promises of God to Abraham to us are fulfilled. By faith in Jesus, we too are now descendants of Abraham. Hey, you've been born into a royal family, folks. You just learned this. Isn't that amazing? And he has changed your name too, by the way. On the day of your baptism, the day you received the Holy Spirit, the day your sins were forgiven, the day you became an heir of eternal life, God gave you a new name. You're now Christian. And he keeps his promises to you, just like he kept them to your father Abraham of old. And he gives you a new covenant in his blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And his covenant is sealed in his holy precious blood, which strengthens your faith and keeps you in life everlasting and in the everlasting promised land. So God made promises to Abraham, problems and promises that seemed impossible, unbelievable to an old man and his wife. But guess what, folks? God keeps promises. Every darn one of them. So may you and I trust in our Lord just a bit more to give him the faith and the praise and the joys of our lives, and know that he has us covered, because we know the depths of his love, do we not? We know that he has power to proclaim and give us the most amazing things of blessing if we would just see them. So all the promises fulfilled in Jesus when he came for you and me, and you and I are inheritors of those things. May you and I trust in a God that has roots way back to Abraham, and yet has roots in us today as well. Because God is the same, remember, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we trust in him who sees all things, whose wisdom is higher than ours, whose love is more unfathomable than we can imagine, and whose promises always come true. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.